Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, we finish our sermon series on the book of Jonah. In Jonah, we have seen the stubborn and selfish prophet who disobeyed God's calling and ran in the other direction. Jonah, as we said before, is an honest book in which the prophet Jonah himself pictures himself as a disobedient sinner, just like the rest of us. But in contrast to Jonah, we have the incredible compassion of the Lord. The Lord is the God of second chances. He gives second chances to Jonah, to the people of Nineveh, and to sinners like you and me. This contrast between Jonah's selfishness and God's compassion is made even more clear in chapter 4, the final chapter of Jonah. Chapter 4 has a twist at the end, as we see Jonah's real motivations for not wanting to go to Nineveh. But most importantly, we see the relentless compassion of God, who wants to seek and to save the lost, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Let me show you three different ways we can see God's compassion. God's compassion is seen, first of all, in his word. Remember in Jonah 1, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and he didn't want to go, and he ran away from God, and there was a big storm, and then he was thrown overboard and swallowed by a huge fish. So why did Jonah not want to go to Nineveh? Most people think it was because Jonah was scared, and that may have had something to do with it. The Ninevites were scary people. The Assyrians were, as we said last week, a very evil and violent kingdom. So that may have been part of it. But the real reason, according to the book of Jonah itself, according to Jonah's own confession, the real reason Jonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh is explained by Jonah himself in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. This is the twist. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because he knew about God's great compassion. He was worried, rightfully so, that once Nineveh heard the word of the Lord, they would repent. And that's exactly what they did. If they repented, he knew God would forgive them because he knows who God is. He is the God of second chances, the God who loves to forgive sinners. And he was absolutely right that that would happen. What happens in Jonah chapter 3 is what Jonah feared the most, that the people of Nineveh repented, and he knew if people repent, God is faithful and just to forgive sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? He didn't want that. He wanted God to destroy Nineveh. But in God's great compassion, he forgave Nineveh. How did Jonah know God would be that compassionate if he went there and preached God's word to them? Because Jonah knew God's word. God's word tells us that the Lord, yes, is just and righteous, who punishes sin. But more than anything else, even greater than his justice, even greater than his righteousness, is his compassion and his graciousness. More than anything else, the Lord is compassionate and gracious. I think Jonah's favorite book of the Bible was the Psalms. In the belly of the fish, he seemed to know the Psalms well. In the belly of the fish, he prayed, and his prayers were made up of different psalms Jonah must have known by heart. And here in chapter 4, Jonah quotes a famous refrain used many times in the Psalms, like Psalm 145. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Jonah knew God's great compassion because Jonah read God's word, which is also how Martin Luther discovered the great compassion of the Lord as well. Today is Reformation Sunday, the 507th birthday of the Lutheran Church. Today we're celebrating October 31st, 1517, when Martin Luther nailed 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg. But what led Luther to publicly stand up for the truth of God's word? Simply put, Luther discovered God's great compassion by studying his word. In the days of Luther, people thought of God as mostly as a just and righteous judge, someone to be feared, a judge who was looking to throw the book at us. He was looking to condemn people for any and every sin, a God who couldn't wait to punish sinners. And Luther lived in total fear of that God. He was completely motivated by fear, terror of the Lord. But after becoming a monk and a professor who taught the Bible,
Once he read the Bible for himself, he discovered the truth about the Lord. Yes, the Lord is righteous and holy, but he is gracious and compassionate, right? The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Our salvation does not rest upon our good works, but upon the grace of God given to us in Christ Jesus. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus paid the price for sin and gives us eternal life as a free gift. When Luther discovered the compassion of the Lord that we see in the gospel, his life was completely changed. Luther dedicated his life to sharing the good news with as many people as possible, risking his life on a regular basis so people could know the truth of the gospel, translating the Bible into German, the language of the people, so people could read God's word for themselves and discover for themselves the compassion of God. We can too. When we read God's word, we will definitely see the law. We will see the Ten Commandments that show us our sin and reveal to us the way we fall short of God's will for our lives. But we will also see the gospel, the good news that tells us that God has had compassion on us, fulfilled the law for us, and sent his one and only Son to be our Savior so that we can have eternal life. We see God's compassion in his word. But second of all, we see God's compassion, number two, in his patience. God was definitely compassionate and patient with Nineveh. Jonah went outside of the city to the east. He was really hoping that God would decide to destroy Nineveh. So he sat out in the hot sun, and God gave Jonah some shade by having a plant grow over his head. Jonah was thrilled to have the plant for some shade. But during the night, God sent a worm, and it killed the plant, and this made Jonah furious. He was, as the Bible says, exceedingly angry. The same kind of exceeding anger he had when God had compassion on Nineveh. God asked Jonah, "Do you have any right to be angry?" And Jonah's reaction is like a two-year-old. "Yes, I'm angry. Angry enough to die." He wants to hold his breath and turn blue until God puts his favorite plant back. God was giving Jonah an object lesson. He asked Jonah, "Look, Jonah, you care more about this plant than people. You've been worried about this plant that you did not make and you did not help it grow. It sprang up overnight. It died overnight. Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their left hand from their right, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" Jonah loved that plant more than he loved people, and we can sometimes be the same way, loving things more than we love the people whom Jesus Christ died for. The people of Nineveh were lost. They could not tell their left hand from their right. They didn't know right from wrong, good from evil. Sounds a lot like the world we live in today. Sounds a lot like the people of Jesus' time, right? They were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. These are the people God wants to save. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And that's why God is patient with all people. And we see his patience today. Now, some people were asking back in the time of the Apostle Peter, "Peter, you and the other disciples said Jesus was coming back. Where is he? You said he was coming back. Where is he?" Peter tells them, "God is not slow as some understand slowness. God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." 2 Peter 3, verse 9. God is patient with everyone. He's patient with everyone to save them from sin and death. He's patient with all people, which means, most important for us, that he's patient with us as well. Although we sin, although we fail God by what we do and by what we don't do, God's always willing to forgive and give us a second chance. He did it for Jonah. He did it for Nineveh. He does it for us time and time again. Now, the ultimate place where we see God's compassion, yes, we see it in his word. Yes, we see it in his patience with all people. And of course, most importantly, we see it at the cross. Number three, at the cross. God shows his great love for us at the cross. God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. You see, We've all been trapped by the power of sin, dead to God and our trespasses. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we know the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. But thanks be to God, that is not the end of the story. Thanks be to God, that's not the end of our story. God, in his compassion, does something about it. He demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you wanted to see the love of God, you just need to look at the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross, taking all the pain and punishment that we deserve upon himself, so that sinners like us could be forgiven. The cross of Christ shows us the compassion of God. That's why I'm glad we have such a big cross at the front of our sanctuary. The cross shows us God's love and compassion, and God's love for you is huge, bigger than you, right? No one can grasp how long and wide and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge. God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The cross doesn't just show us how big God's compassion and love is for us, it also does big things for us. Through the cross, we're given the greatest gift that has ever been given in history, everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God gives us his salvation as a free gift through the cross of Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the good news of the gospel. It's the good news that Jesus preached, that Paul preached, that Luther preached, and the good news that we preach right here at St. Matthew. As we look at the book of Jonah, we see so many important things about who God is. God is patient. God is kind. And most of all, God is compassionate. God is compassionate and has a relentless compassion for the lost. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.